Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
About the gift of greatness, as we've been talking about greatness over this past month, and there's no greater gift that has ever been given than the gift of Jesus. For one reason, because it's a gift that was given to every single person. No one else has ever given a gift that literally could apply to the entire world. Because I don't know about you, but there's been gifts that I've been given throughout my life, Christmas presents, and so everybody, you know what I'm talking about. You've got that crazy aunt or you've got that weird cousin that gives you a gift and it's like, I do not know what to do with this. Why did you waste your money on this? I don't know why you would buy this for me. But it was a gift that, you know, there may be things that I like. Like last night, it was funny. We were at my parents and the gifts that I got, there were other people in the room that they would not have been happy with the gifts that I got, but I was ecstatic about the gifts that I got. Why? Because they were personal to me. The amazing thing about Jesus is he's personable to everybody. God gave him to the entire world from the time that he was born until he comes back again. He is applicable to every single person's life. That's how good of a gift he is. And as I think about that, I think about some of the greatest gifts that I have received in my life. And I was just pondering yesterday about what is the greatest Christmas present that I ever remember giving. And if you would think about it for a moment, whatever the first thing comes to your mind is, that's probably the best gift you ever got because it sparks a memory and an emotion inside of you. And I remember in 1998, I would have been 7 years old, and I remember all I wanted for Christmas was a BB gun. That was it. I didn't care if I got anything else. I wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. And I remember we woke up, and we had this little sunroom on the back of our house, and that's where our Christmas tree was, and all the presents were piled up. And I do remember that year getting a Sammy Sosa jersey because that was the year that Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire had the home run battle. And I remember getting a Sammy Sosa jersey, and that was cool, and it was good, but I still wanted that BB gun, but all the presents had been opened and I had not gotten that BB gun. And I was devastated. I was the most depressed looking Sammy Sosa you've ever seen in your life at 7 years old, sitting there and just not knowing, oh man, why did I not get a BB gun? And then my dad from the corner in his chair, he goes, oh, Gretchen, we forgot about the two more presents for the boys. And I'm like, yes, I'm getting a BB gun. And he said, y'all come with me to get them. And so we walk. I can still see the house that we were living in at 6007 Trisha Lane in Huntsville. And we walked down the hallway. We walked into their bedroom. We walked through their bathroom, into their closet. And he grabbed these two boxes that I knew they were about this tall and they were about this wide. And I was like, BB gun. And my dad grabbed him. He's like, let's go back out where your mom can see you open them. So we're going. And on the way, we're coming through the hallway. It's seared in my mind. My dad turns around and goes, I hope you guys like kites. And my heart sunk to the bottom of that floor. And I once again was, you thought Sammy Sosa was depressed earlier. You should have seen him at this point. I mean, you could have picked me up off of the floor. I was just walking back like, who needs a kite? Who would want a kite? Like my dad's actually going to tell me what I'm about to open. But at seven, you don't really think those things through. I mean, I was hook, line, sinker. I'm like, this is the worst Christmas ever. I'm getting a kite. And we opened it up. And of course, it was a BB gun. We went out in the backyard and we shot for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours with those BB guns. And we had just a blast. But that is the greatest Christmas present that I ever remember getting. I asked Pastor Madison yesterday what her favorite present that she ever received was, and she said it was a pair of roller skates. And she said, didn't you have a basement that you would ride your roller skates around in? And every single one of us, hopefully you have had at least one Christmas where you can look back on it with fondness, whether it was as a child, maybe it's since you've gotten married, but you can remember receiving a gift. And that's one of the precious things about Christmas. I know it's not about the gifts, but to me, the gifts really are special. And it's not even about what's given. It's the heart in which it's given. It could be a $5 present. It could be a card. It could be absolutely free. But there's something about the giving of gifts that's emotional and that creates such joy inside of us because Christmas was initiated with a gift being given. And it was God giving a gift from heaven to earth so that heaven could come to earth and we could be invited into the kingdom of heaven. And so I love Christmas. I'm excited to share with you guys today. And I want you just for a moment, take take a second and think about the greatest gift that you've ever received. Not Jesus, okay, just for a moment, because we all know it really is Jesus. But think about it just for a moment. It didn't have to be an expensive gift. It didn't have to be elaborate, but it was meaningful, right? It meant something to you. It brought out some kind of emotion. And throughout the month of December, we've been talking about greatness, having a mentality of greatness, stepping into the fullness of who God has created us and called us and prepared us to be. You know, the Bible says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, right? Which he has prepared beforehand. God has ordained and prepared good works for you to walk in, not bad things for you to walk in, but good things for you to walk in. Not failure for you to walk in, but fulfillment and a future and a hope and success and greatness for you to walk in. And we've been talking and encouraging you to be all that God has created you to be so that he can be glorified inside of us. But this morning, I want to continue in that, and I want to talk to you about the gift of greatness, who is Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible, stand to your feet with me. And turn to the book of Luke. Listen, just because it's Christmas, you don't get to take off a day from standing for the reading of the word, okay? You'll get to sit plenty later on this afternoon and evening. I hope that each of you have so far had a wonderful Christmas with your family. I know that we have. We woke up this morning and we had coffee cake. That's our Christmas tradition with the boys, and it was fantastic. It was gluten-free coffee cake, and the girl. I didn't forget. I'm sorry, Zoe. And the girl. We had a great time, and we're going to go home, and we're going to open presents later. It's going to be wonderful, and I hope that you and yours have a wonderful Christmas together. And I'm only going to keep you for about another 20, 25 more minutes. We just wanted this to be an hour-long service where we come together as a family and sing some carols, praise the Lord, receive the word, and get to see one another. But thank you all so much for being here. And I want to read to you from Luke chapter 1. We're going to read verses 26 through 33. And this is when Gabriel visits Mary to tell her that she is going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit with Jesus, who would be God incarnate and come in the flesh and save us from our sins. So it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her," that's such a funny picture to me. Literally, the angel walked into her house. Having come in, like, I just kind of always expected, like, in the movies, you know, he just appeared, but it literally says after he came in, like, no wonder she was scared. No wonder she was kind of freaked out. This angel broke into her house. It is a little bit different, okay? So after having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ. If not for that blessed gift that you gave on that Christmas day, all of us would be stuck in our sin and bound to eternity in hell. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in victorious triumph through Christ Jesus our Lord, that because of him, death, hell, and the grave have been trampled, and we have been made new and been given access to the throne room and eternity with you. And we say thank you for that, for the gift that you gave. It was simply that. It was a gift. It's not something that we could earn or something that we could make our way into, but you gave it to us. And today we receive that gift, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe you noticed in the video earlier and what an amazing depiction of what that could have looked like on that night. I can't imagine what it would have felt like to be Mary, you know, one of the most famous Christmas songs of all time. Mary, did you know that your baby boy? She did know, and so that kind of takes away from the song a little bit to me, but because the angel had told her, look, he's going to be great, and he's going to be the Son of God. She didn't know everything he was going to do. I'm not trying to be mean. It was just a little joke about the song. I could feel the offense in the air. Some people, I love that song. It's like, okay, that's okay. You love that song. But you may have noticed in the video earlier, she quoted, she said, "The angel told me that he'd be great." And maybe you notice as we read in verse 32, it says that your son, about her son, that he would be great. And we've been talking about greatness, and it's interesting that the exact same thing was said about John the Baptist to Zacharias that we talked about last week. He said, he will be great, and he will drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. The same exact thing was spoken of Jesus, and I believe the same exact thing is spoken over your life and over my life, that we can be great. Why? Because greatness lives inside of us, because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. There is no one above him, no one beside him, nobody like him. And if he's inside of us and he's great, then greatness can dwell and live inside of us. And Gabriel said he'll be great. And listen, great he was. How do I know that he was great? Because I've read the Bible, right? And I look at it and I see that he opened blind eyes and he healed lame legs and he raised the dead back to life and he multiplied food and he walked on the water and he turned water into wine and he did all these things. In fact, so much so, he was so great and he was so mighty and he was so perfect that it says in the book of John that if everything that Jesus did was recorded, all the books in the world could not contain it. That's how much he did in the 3.5 years from the time that he was exposed publicly till the time that he died on the cross. He performed that many miracles and that many wonders that even all the books in the world couldn't contain it. Why? Because he was megas, that Greek word meaning great. He was exceedingly great, not just kind of great. He was the greatest thing that ever walked the face of the earth. He was amazing and he was wonderful. Jesus himself told us, he said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Nobody, I don't care if it's Billy Graham or if it's the President of the United States, no one can get to the Father except by me. There's no amount of money that can buy your way there. There's no amount of morality that can earn your way there. You can only come to the Father by Jesus Christ. Meaning, apart from the gift that God gave to us through Christmas, through Mary birthing that child into the world, there is no straight and narrow. There is no pathway to salvation. Jesus is the only way. And that's why this morning I'm so thankful for the gift of greatness that was given to us by God, our Father, to say, look, you can't get to me unless I give you this, and so I'm going to give it to you, even though you don't deserve it. Because if we look at things, if we played all of our lives on these TV screens from the time we were born up until now, none of us would pass the grade and say they deserve going to heaven. In fact, all of us, if we started to play our lives on this screen, I don't know about you, but I would split that back door wide open and I would never show my face in DeKalb County ever again. All social media deleted. Everything is gone because none of us would want to know or to see the things that we've done that we're ashamed of. But because Jesus came, we don't have to live in that shame. He has taken our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And I don't know about you, but to me, that's a gift that's worth getting a little bit excited about. That's a gift of greatness. It's not one of those little, you know, gifts that you forget about in 2 weeks or you forget about in 5 minutes. It's a gift that we should treasure every single day of our life because he made a way for mankind to be reconciled to the Father. We'd been separated by sin and we could be reconciled to the heart of God. He truly is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. And I know he was a gift because the most famous scripture of all time, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he what? What did he do? He gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. When those angels showed up to the shepherds on that Christmas night in Bethlehem, and the glory of God was arrayed in the heavens, you know what they said? They said, this will be for all men. Not just for the Jews, not just for the Gentiles, not just for the rich, not just for the poor, not just for the educated or the uneducated. This will be for all men. God gave his son for every single person to be saved. And I have to think about it this way. What a mess we would be in if God hadn't given his son. What if God would have decided, you know what? They don't deserve it. What if God would have chosen and thought in that moment, you know what, Jesus is just too precious to give for someone that's just going to squander it? Because listen, not everybody is going to receive God. Everyone has the opportunity, but there are some people that are going to resist him, but God still gave him anyways. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, he did not spare his son, but he offered him up for all. He could have chosen to keep him in heaven and gone, you know what? Y'all figure it out on your own. Y'all created your own mess. They didn't have to eat the apple in the garden or whatever kind of fruit it was, but they did, so y'all figure it out yourself, right? But no, he chose to interject Jesus into humanity to give us the opportunity to be reconciled to the Father through the gift of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to know where I'd be without him. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, one of my favorite scriptures of all time, says, speaking of Jesus, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. That's the greatest gift that was ever given. And that's the gift of, the greatest gift was also the gift of greatness. Because Jesus being great, and he was the gift, God gave us through Jesus the gift, the ability to be great in the sight of God. He laid down his life so that we could have life. He gave up his royalty so that we could have access to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. There is no greatness apart from him. There isn't. You cannot be great. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how high you climb on the ladder. I don't care how many people know your name. There is no greatness apart from God. Only through him can we truly be great. In fact, Jesus told us in John chapter 15, verse, I believe it's 3 or 4, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He didn't mean you can't do anything, because apparently there's millions of people doing things that are not connected to Jesus. What he meant is you can't do anything that has value or has any kind of greatness attached to it unless it comes from abiding in me. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What he's saying is I can endure all things because Jesus Christ strengthens me and gives me the ability. It's not because I'm that great. It's not because I'm that awesome. I'm that special. I'm that talented. It's only because of him. John would write in his first epistle, and he would say in the 4th chapter, in the 4th verse, he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That's how I know that greatness truly comes from God, because if it were left to us in our own devices apart from God, the enemy would overcome us. In fact, we've all been overcome by the enemy. Do you know when you're overcome by the enemy? When you're not abiding in Jesus. When you're not abiding in that gift of greatness that he's put inside of you. But when you do and you allow him to be great inside of you, he is greater than anything that comes against you or anything that tries to take you out in this world. But greatness doesn't come from what you do. Greatness comes from who is in you. I want to give you this analogy. It's kind of like this. A pizza box has little to no value until you put a pizza inside of it, right? A pizza box is worth like, what, 25 cents maybe? But you put a pizza inside of it, and now they want to charge you like $17 for that same little box carrying that thing. And so when you see a pizza box, right, you get, I don't know if you're like me, but I get excited when I see a pizza box, okay? I mean, there's just something inside of me that begins to churn, and I become like a kid on Christmas morning once again, because I get to open up that thing and the aroma is going to fill me. I'm going to smell the cheese and the sauce and the bread, and hopefully there's some garlic sauce or something to dip it in. I'm a sauce fanatic, and I get excited. But what adds value to the pizza box? Because without the pizza, the box is just cardboard. There's nothing special. But when you put that pizza inside of that box, all of a sudden you get excited when you see that box. Why? Because of what's inside of it. And it's the same with you and me. We're just flesh and bone. We're dirt that's going to go back to dirt. But when the great, mighty one of Israel is living inside of us, all of a sudden there's value that wasn't there before. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's like one of the most iconic things in all of Christmas is the manger. But I talked about this last night in Scottsboro. The manger was just an everyday object. There was nothing special about it. It was a feeding trough. It was something that almost, if you had livestock, you had a manger, and it wasn't like, hey, y'all come out to the barn, check out my manger, right? Like, it wasn't something special, something that people highlighted. It was just an everyday object. But you know what it was? It was available. It was empty. And when Jesus was put in it, all of a sudden that manger became something of value. It became something that was useful to host the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you and I, that's all we are. We're vessels. We're earthen vessels, but we get to possess the one that is great on the inside of us because God has given us the gift of greatness. And so we may just be common, normal, everyday type of people, but let me tell you, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? And because of him, we can be more than conquerors. And when we receive the greatest gift, we receive the gift of greatness. And he fills us with the power to be great. And going back to what I talked about last week with John the Baptist, great in his sight. Not by the standards of the world, not by what man thinks about us or what man says about us, but by what he says. And I want you to know this today, if you're here listening to me, every single person has potential for greatness. I don't care if you're 99 and you've lived the worst life imaginable. I don't care if you're 1 year old and you don't even know yet. It doesn't matter. Every single person that is here is born with a potential for greatness. But I've also realized not everyone receives the gift of greatness and allows him to work in their life to truly make them great. You have to make room for the gift of God to come inside of you and fill you so that you can be great. But Gabriel said something to Mary that struck me, and I want to read it to you again, and then I'll begin to close this morning. It says in verse 30, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You may be wondering, can I truly be great? I want you to see something in the life of Mary today. It said that she found favor with God. That word found in the Greek means to discover after searching. That means that Mary was searching and seeking for favor with God. I want you to know today, it's okay to seek the favor of God on your life. It's not selfish because it's something he wants for you, not something that he's trying to keep from you. Seek the favor of God in your life, in all things, in everything that you do, on your job, in your marriage, in your life. Seek the favor of God because he said you found it because you've been searching for it. In fact, Jesus said, seek and you shall find. You may wonder, why did he choose Mary? I think it's because Mary was seeking for the favor of God. And God always favors people who are seekers, people that are going after him, that are tuning into him and seeking his heart and seeking his ways. And this leads me to believe that if she hadn't been searching, she wouldn't have found it. Yeah. Right? I remember one time, a Christmas many moons ago, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, I was at my grandmother's house, and all I wanted for Christmas that year was not a BB gun, but I wanted a football phone to keep in my bedroom. It was literally a phone. It was a football, and then you pick the phone up out of the football, and that's all I wanted. And the only calls that we ever made on that football phone was to one friend and prank calls. That was it. You know, like, is your refrigerator running? Yeah, well, then you better go catch it, and then we'd hang up, right? Or I remember one time, we called and I said, "Hey, is Bill there?" And they were like, "Yeah, hang on a second." And I was hung up immediately. Like, I picked a random name and it happened to be Bill's house. But I remember I wanted that football phone so bad, so bad. And we were upstairs in my grandmother's house and there was this closet that she kept all of her aunt's clothes that had passed away. I don't know why we kept them, but people do weird stuff like that sometimes. And so we open up the thing, and I found the football phone about a week before Christmas. And I was so excited for about 2 seconds, and then guilt hit me like crazy. And it was like the worst Christmas Eve ever when I opened up that phone because I knew it was coming. But I never would have found it if I hadn't been looking for it, right? Well, in this way, it's good to be looking for the favor of God. I want you to be seeking and searching through prayer and through reading the word. God, how do I get your favor? How can I find? Because what is favor? It's closely related to the word grace in the Bible. It's simply what we can't earn and what we can't get on our own. It's simply what God gives to us, favor from him, from heaven. And Mary found that on earth. It's only by his favor and by his grace that we can ever attain or walk in greatness. So let's be people that seek him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all of our strength. And we're not just seeking what we can get from him. I believe that the key is that Mary was seeking God, not just what God could give to her, but she had found favor in what? In the sight of God. And my prayer for you this Christmas season is that you would find his favor. And that you would not just find it, but you would receive the gift of greatness. And we can see this in the life of Mary, where she says in verse 34, it says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren.'" Listen to this in verse 37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.'" Let that be your prayer this Christmas season. Let it be to me according to your word. Do you realize the promises that God has declared over your life in his word about you walking in greatness and fulfilling every promise that he has for you and plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give a hope and a future? What you need to say today is, "Let it be to me according to your word." Amen. Can you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to pray a simple blessing over you today as you go throughout the rest of your Christmas season. I want to pray that you would find favor in the sight of God and with man, because I believe that when you find favor with God, he also gives you favor with man. And so if you want to receive that blessing, would you just close your eyes and lift your hands this morning? Father, I pray that you would anoint your people to be people that seek you. Like Mary was searching and she found favor with God, I pray that we would discover favor everywhere that we go, because our hearts are set and fixed upon you, wanting to do your will. And let us be like Mary. In fact, would you just say that with me, church? Say, "Let it be to me according to thy word." God, we come into agreement with your word today, and we say the things that you have spoken over us all this month about greatness and having a mentality of greatness and losing the victim mentality and not quitting and being great in the sight of the Lord and understanding that there's requirements and being filled with the Holy Ghost. God, I pray that we, like Mary, that the power of the Mighty One would overshadow us, and we would walk and we would conceive and walk and bear the fruit of greatness inside of us, God, in our lives and our marriages and in parenting and jobs, Lord, in even with strangers. Lord, I pray that we would be able to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness. Lord, let it be to us according to your word. We say yes and amen to all that you're doing. And I pray favor and blessing over your people today. In fact, I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you, and may his favor rest upon you, and not just you, but your children and your children's children for generations to come. May the favor and the blessing of God be upon you. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas from our family to yours. Thank you for being here, and have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas season. We love you so much.